Tuesday, June 3rd, 2026. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope your week is going well. I hope you, your family, your friends, you're all staying strong and healthy right now. And don't look now, but yes, you are halfway to another weekend already. That's always a good thing. And let's start off right off the bat, because we had some big news take place on Monday in the NFL, of all places. Because the Cleveland Browns put together a trade that is sending two-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year Myles Garrett to the Los Angeles Rams for two-time Pro Bowl pass rusher Jared Verse. The Browns will also get a first-round draft pick in 2027, a second-round pick in 2028, and a third-round pick in 2029. Okay, so the Rams are pushing all of their chips into the middle of the table because the future holds nothing for them. It is all about the here and the now. The Rams will worry about the future some other day. They want a Super Bowl, and make no mistake, they are the favorites to win one. I mean, honestly, they already were the favorite. This just makes them that much better. And yet, expectations can do crazy things to teams. And sometimes when you have those higher expectations, things start to go bad. It unravels quickly. And let's not forget about the health of quarterback Matt Stafford. Remember, it's not like he was battling just that finger injury. He's battling a back injury for years now. That doesn't just go away. But I mean, remember, the Rams spent this past year's first round pick on quarterback Ty Simpson. Hey, if Stafford ended up getting hurt, this could crash, and it could crash hard. On the other side, hey, make no mistake, the Cleveland Browns are absolutely stacked with draft picks. The Browns should really be able to beef up their franchise over the next few years. Here's the only problem. That might happen if the Browns weren't actually the team making the picks. Like, if a different team was making the picks for them, then the Browns would really be onto something. But they're not. The Browns will make the picks. And I mean, when you think back on the Browns making picks, and you think of guys like Tim Couch, Danny Shelton, Justin Gilbert, Trent Richardson, Gerard Warren, Shedeur Sanders. I mean, when those guys are on your resume, I'm going to go ahead and have some doubts about what you might do with those picks. I mean, the Browns right now are going, hey, think about this. What if we draft, say, I don't know, a Myles Garrett? You had a Myles Garrett. You didn't do anything with him. So I don't know that I have much faith in the Browns actually doing anything. Meanwhile, speaking of Myles Garrett, he goes to bed on Sunday night in Cleveland. There's no sun. He has no help. He has no hope. He woke up yesterday with a new lease on life. He now has a team. He now has a coach. He now has a quarterback. He can actually see some sunshine. Sure, he's going to have people pooping in his front yard. But on the whole, massive upgrade for Myles Garrett. And then you have Jared Verse. Jared Verse went to bed dreaming of a Super Bowl victory every single night. And now he's waking up every morning to absolute heartache and despair. And he now has to try to find a reason to just get out of bed every morning. If you think your Wednesday is bad today, if you think you're having a rough week, if you think you're having a rough day, just imagine being Jared Verse. And remember, things can always be a little bit worse. Hey, today on The Dose, the Stanley Cup Final and those NBA Finals are here. And we're going to be making our predictions for both of those series. Our Daily Dose Top 5 is going to be making a return today after a few weeks off. And I'll give you a hint, it will be NFL flavored. But first, we do have some breaking sports news. And I want to start off in the world of college football. Because while the federal government is busy doing, I don't know, pretty much everything in its power to bring stability to college athletics instead of actually doing their jobs, football and basketball continue operating right now in the world of college sports with like no oversight whatsoever. For basketball, we've seen teams time and time again trying to fill up their rosters with pro players. First, it was Alabama. They added a kid who ended up being ruled ineligible. And then we talked about it a little bit last week, but the LSU Tigers are just turning to the pros to bolster their chances for competing in the SEC in Will Wade's first season back in Baton Rouge. Well, football isn't doing much better because we have an unchecked transfer portal and eligibility rules. Well, there aren't any. And so it's turning a sport that was already playing fast and loose with the rule book into just insanity. I would say Wild West, but it feels a little bit wilder than Wild West. Well, the NCAA has attempted to curb the free movement of players a little bit. They closed that spring transfer portal window and created just one portal period in January. However, we knew it was only a matter of time before someone attempted to exploit that as well. Well, here it is. We've got one. It seems that UCLA quarterback slash wide receiver Carson Gordon is attempting to hit the transfer portal. Here's the catch. Not as a college football player. No, the redshirt sophomore is reportedly going into the portal as he is getting ready to play football for UCLA as a scholarship track athlete. Though he intends to be a two-sport athlete and continue playing football at the next school as well. So he's getting ready to play football for UCLA. He's also in the transfer portal at the same time. This is mind-numbing. The NCAA's track and field transfer portal window just opened this week and will remain open until June 26th. And there are no rules that say he can't participate in both track and football next year. So Gordon was a track and field athlete both in high school and at UCLA. So, I mean, maybe he's capable of earning that scholarship to another program. But I mean, I'm just looking at this as yet another example that other kids are going to try to copy. Here's the thing. This is just another method of trying to skirt all the rules that they're putting out there because there is no governing body right now in college athletics. I mean, it's not brand new. We know football players who ran track in high school would earn track scholarships in college and then walk onto their football team. You might remember a guy named Santana Moss doing that down at Miami. But when I see these players doing things like this, it just makes me more and more pessimistic about anything ever fixing college athletics. Because as long as there are rules, there will be people trying to break those rules. And when we don't have a true governing body saying, no, 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 we're going to have you sit out. You don't get to do this. You don't get to just jump around all you want. Well, then it's going to keep happening. You're going to have to implement a salary cap. You're going to have to limit all the transferring all over the place. But right now, the toothpaste is out of the tube, and I don't know how you get it back in, but this is just another example of there being no laws right now in college sports. One last story, and I hate to end on this in our news segment, but a sad story in the NHL last week that hit kind of close to home here in Colorado as former winger Claude Lemieux died, they say, by suicide at the age of 60 last Thursday. Now, Claude Lemieux played nearly 1,500 NHL games with six different teams from 83 to 2009. He was known for his hard-hitting style, but he was also known for his ability to perform in big games. And that guy won Stanley Cups four different times. Now, Lemieux's family did announce over the weekend that his brain is being donated to the Boston University CTE Center to research the long-term effects of repetitive brain injuries. But again, this is so sad. Lemieux had actually just served as the Montreal Canadiens torchbearer before a playoff game just like a little over a week ago. And the family has said that they gave the CTE Center permission to publicly share any findings with Lemieux's name, adding that no conclusions should be drawn regarding of what they do find. But hey, Lemieux was a tough guy. And he always seemed to come up big in big moments. And I know that everyone remembers his fight with Darren McCarty when the Colorado Avalanche were in that heated rivalry with the Detroit Red Wings. But he did far more than that. Lemieux scored nearly 800 points. And it seemed like he came up with big goals in big times. But I've got one other unique bit of trivia on Claude Lemieux. You might not know this, but here's one you should hold on to. Did you know Claude Lemieux's son, Brendan, was a left winger in the NHL? He played for 5 NHL teams over 7 seasons. But here is the bit of trivia that you might want to hold on to. Win yourself something at the bar with this. Did you know Claude Lemieux and his son, Brendan, are the only father-son duo to both be punished by the NHL for biting other players? Yeah, I would say the Colorado Avalanche could have used Claude Lemieux this season. So the 2026 NBA Finals will tip off tonight in San Antonio after the San Antonio Spurs upset the defending champion Oklahoma City Thunder in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals on Saturday night. Hey, the Thunder just ran out of gas after suffering a number of injuries, and their shooting is what really suffered. They couldn't knock down a basket late that game. Also, something crazy to think about with the Thunder, because they have been the young team that should be able to stay on top for a while, right? Remember this. Chet Holmgren's 5-year multi-million dollar extension is going to kick in this summer. Here's what it looks like. Next year, $41 million. 28, $45 million. 29, $48 million. 30, $51 million. And he'll finish that contract out at $55 million bucks. That might turn out to be a franchise changer, especially when he was so bad against the Spurs. He averaged 10 points, but he had just 4 points and 2 turnovers in Game 7, and it looked like he didn't want to shoot it. It looked like he was kind of scared to go against Wemby. He kind of looked like he lost his mojo against the Spurs. We will see if the Thunder make any offseason moves and what they do going forward with Chet Holmgren. But I'll say this, at least we've all been spared having to watch the Oklahoma City Thunder in the finals with that brand of flopping referee manipulation style of games. I wouldn't watch it, I'll be very honest with you. So now we get the Spurs. Meanwhile, the New York Knicks have been sitting and have been waiting since May 25th after they swept the Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Finals. Okay, so let's break this down. Who is going to come out on top in these NBA Finals? Let's take a quick look and see if we can figure this out. Early bets coming in, we're actually coming in on the Knicks. We'll see what late money does later today and tonight. Now, first up, the New York Knicks might come from the weaker Eastern Conference. Make no mistake, though, this team is not soft. The Knicks stormed through that Eastern Conference. They won 11 consecutive games by an average of nearly 24 points per game to reach the NBA Finals for the first time since 1999. Now, if you remember 1999, the Knicks went all the way there, and then their title hopes were dashed by, yep, you guessed it, the San Antonio Spurs with a talented young big man, but that time his name was Tim Duncan. But hey, make no mistake, the Knicks have the league's most tortured fan base. They have been painfully close a number of times, but remember, the Knicks haven't won a title in over 50 years. But I'll say this, this team is capable of changing that. Point guard Jalen Brunson, he has proven to be one of the toughest and most clutch players in the NBA. Wingman Mikal Bridges is proving to be one of the most efficient players in the league. Josh Hart, another versatile wing. He can play defense, he can shoot it. And Karl Anthony Towns has been stepping up his game in a big way. And I know we look at Karl Anthony Towns, and he's kind of silly. He's kind of the Caleb Williams of the NBA. But I'm telling you, he's playing really well. The Knicks defense has been absolutely stifling in the playoffs. The Knicks are allowing less than 94 points per game in the postseason. And while, no, they haven't faced the same competition as the West, the Knicks are going to be a problem. This team is not an accident. They are here because they deserve it. And I'll say one other thing. Remember, the core of this team is those Villanova boys. Hey, they expect to win. Those kids are tough. There is not going to be any, well, we're just happy to be here. Oh, no. They think they can win it all, and you know what? They can. On the other side, we have the surprise of the postseason, as we have all been impressed with what Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs have been doing. But I think we all thought they were like a year away. And to be honest, they probably were a year away. But then, like I said, the Oklahoma City Thunder has a few injuries, and the Spurs have done some major growing up very quickly. Remember that last year at this time, we were all worried that Victor Wembanyama was having those blood clots in his legs, and now here we are. But it's not just a one-man team with Wemby. Stephon Castle is in just his third season. That kid plays like a veteran, though. De'Aaron Fox is still an absolute jet and a veteran. And then you've got rookie Dylan Harper, who just keeps coming up with big plays in clutch times. But going into the series, there are a few things that I want to watch in this series that are going to be very, very revealing. Keep an eye on these things. First, how will the Knicks defend Wemby? Because remember that Karl Anthony Towns, he has a tendency to get himself into foul trouble. Sometimes with silly fouls, like 80 feet from the basket. So I think the Knicks are going to have to go with defense by committee against Wemby. Give him different looks. Don't let him get comfortable. I want to see in this series who can consistently rebound. The Knicks love to crash the offensive glass. They love to grind out a few extra offensive possessions. Here's the problem. Wemby doesn't allow that very often. He cleans that glass pretty good. The Spurs are a very good rebounding team. If the Knicks are unable to get offensive boards, then their offense is going to have to be highly efficient in other ways. They can't miss as many shots. I want to see how the Spurs go about trying to defend Jalen Brunson. Do they put De'Aaron Fox on him and go lefty point guard versus lefty point guard? Or do they put Stephon Castle on him and see if they can't wear him down a little bit? That might pay off later in the series. And how will the Spurs play against Karl Anthony Towns? Will they just let Wemby roam around the paint and just kind of play that one-man zone? If so, then Kat and those other Knicks players, they have got to make them pay by shooting the ball effectively. Keep this in mind. The Knicks love that corner three, and it has been very good to them. If they can knock that down, that's going to change some things. Now, the Knicks won the season series against the Spurs 2-1, and I think if the Knicks shoot it well, I think they can win the series as well. But I also think the Spurs have been tested in the playoffs way more than New York has. The Knicks have faced the Hawks, the 76ers, and the Cavaliers. Meanwhile, the Spurs were going against the Trailblazers, but then the Timberwolves and the Thunder. Yeah, that isn't close. The Spurs are way more tested. I'm going to say this is a close series, but I'm going to take the Spurs to win in six, but I'm actually expecting an entertaining series. And unlike if the Thunder had been in it, I actually think this might actually be more watchable. Meanwhile, over in the NHL, the Stanley Cup final began last night in Raleigh, North Carolina, as the Carolina Hurricanes hosted the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas actually managed to steal home ice last night by getting a win in game one. But this series could be highly competitive to the very end. The knock on Carolina under head coach Rod Brind'Amour has been that while they're very good defensively every year, they can't score goals when they have to. That hasn't been the case this season. Before this postseason, the Hurricanes ranked eighth in playoff scoring. Since Brind'Amour took over back in 2019, they averaged 2.89 goals per game. This season, that number has jumped significantly up to 3.30 goals per game. That's a lot. Their defense has still been strong. Goalie Frederik Andersen has not had that meltdown game that we have seen him have at times. There are nights Andersen goes out and just gives up a bunch of garbage. He hasn't done that this year. And while I know that the knock against Carolina has been, well, they've kind of had a soft path to the finals in that Eastern Conference. They swept Ottawa, they swept Philadelphia, and then they beat Montreal in five games. I mean, when you look at Vegas, they haven't really played a murderer's row either. The Golden Knights needed six games to beat Utah and six games to beat Anaheim before that shocking sweep of the Colorado Avalanche. So, based on who they faced in the postseason, Carolina went up against the ninth-ranked team, the 11th, and the sixth-ranked team. Solid. Vegas eliminated the 15th team, the 18th team, and then the number one team in the regular season standings. Now, to be completely fair, and I promise this isn't sour grapes, Vegas didn't really get the true Colorado Avalanche when they swept them. Not when Cale Makar missed the first two games. He clearly wasn't himself. Not when Nathan MacKinnon was injured and was playing on one leg the last two games. Not when Colorado was also missing Valeri Nichushkin, Arturi Lehkonen, and Sam Molinsky for big stretches of that series. Having said that, Vegas is without a doubt the hot team right now. Their defense has been suffocating. Head coach John Tortorella has made all the right moves. Because remember, it was at the end of March that the Knights fired head coach Bruce Cassidy and named Tortorella the new head coach. There were just 8 games left in the regular season. But following that change, Vegas finished the regular season going 7-0-1. And then they have been red hot in the postseason going 12-4 on their way to the final. Also, remember that he won a Stanley Cup in Tampa back in 2004. Goaltender Carter Hart has been playing amazing for Vegas in the postseason. Defenseman Mark Stone is one of the best in the business. Now, the Hurricanes are the favorite in this series, and I think they're going to be really tough. But I'm going to do something stupid, and I'm going to take Vegas to scrape out a Stanley Cup win. Make my pick, Vegas in 6. Hey, remember, you should be stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every week to see what new things we have going on over there. We have links to podcasts. We have links to articles. We have links to videos. We have links to Daily Dose gear. You can pick up a hat, a t-shirt, a hoodie, a sweatshirt. Make sure you're stopping by there. Plus, if you do want to email the podcast, maybe you've got a comment, maybe you've got a concern, maybe you've got a question, hit us up, DailyDoseSports@gmail.com. We do hear from listeners regularly, and it is always good to hear your thoughts. Feel free to reach out. Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. So last week, the NFL announced that after much consideration of a few different social justice slogans, they're going to have a few new end zone slogans that are going to appear on fields this season. They include inspire change and choose love. Now, these social justice and unifying messages are stenciled at the 32 home stadiums and in the end zones at international games as well as a part of the league's cause campaigns. The NFL will also still include the slogans, It Takes All of Us, End Racism, and Stop Hate from past seasons. But the new ones, like I said, will be Inspire Change and Choose Love. And you know, all these slogans are absolutely adorable, and I cannot even begin to tell you how many times I was on my way out the door getting ready to commit a few random acts of senseless violence, and then I read the end zone slogans of my favorite team and decided, you know what? Maybe I better change my tune.
As I rained blows upon him, I realized there had to be another way.
They aren't just social justice slogans. They are true life changers. But remember one specific thing. The Daily Dose I-Team is always hard at work. And the Daily Dose I-Team has been all over the story. Oh, it sounds absolutely lovely to hear those slogans that the NFL is going to be using, but what about the ones that ended up in the trash can after much deliberation? Today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is counting down the top 5 rejected social justice slogans. Our I-Team goes where no one else can go to find the information that no one else can know. Want some proof? Buckle up, because I've got it. Coming in at number 5. We have a slogan that was voted down, even though I think we all know this slogan is followed over and over and over again. It was primarily to be used in Arrowhead Stadium this year in Kansas City, but honestly, it could be used anywhere the Chiefs are playing and just be used as needed. But I think a slogan in the end zone telling the NFL camera operators to show Taylor Swift again, I don't know, it just seems like it kind of crosses a line of some kind. I think that's just a little too far. And I'm glad that Show Taylor Swift Again is not going to be painted in the NFL end zones, even though I think we all know the NFL is going to keep doing it. They just can't be so obvious about it. Be a little more subtle, NFL. Show Taylor Swift Again comes in today at number 5. We arrive at number 4. And this is one that had to be close to making it. Because do you ever drive on the freeway and they have those lighted signs with the messages on them? And they usually say something stupid like, buckle up for safety. As if every car since like 1995 hasn't made you fasten your seatbelt or a chime is sounding incessantly. Look, you can put that up if you want to. I'd much rather have those signs say something like, left lane is for passing only. Move over. That would be a good reminder for drivers. But they don't do that. They say things like, roads could be wet. Well, that might be beneficial if I didn't have eyes, but I do. Well, with the number of NFL players that I see violating this next one, it seems like it might have been beneficial to just stencil, obey the speed limit in each end zone in the country. But there I go making sense again. But I mean, think about it. Nolan Smith, Myles Garrett, Rashee Rice, Jordan Addison, Jalen Carter, Henry Ruggs. The list goes on and on and on. The NFL went a different route, but obey the speed limit? Yeah, it would have been better. And it comes in today at number 4. We reached number 3 today. And this one would have also been a good option too, because sometimes NFL players, how could I say this? They need to be reminded of things. We have to remember that these guys do smash their heads into things for a living. But I want you to think about this. What do Justin Tucker, Deshaun Watson, Jabril Peppers, Brandon McManus, Darren Sharper, CJ Spillman, Dana Stubblefield, and Lawrence Taylor all have in common? They have all been accused of some sort of, let's say, sexual misconduct. And that might be putting it nicely. But can you imagine if you tuned in for, say, the Wednesday night opener this year between the New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks, and you saw in the end zone, no means no. Practical? Yes. Needed? Clearly. But the NFL rejected that slogan according to our Daily Dose IT. And it comes in today at number 3. We arrive at number 2. On our list of NFL slogans that were nominated for use to be spray painted in the end zone this year, but were ultimately rejected. And we get to one that would have been a good reminder, because we talked about it a little bit earlier. But research from Boston University and the Department of Veteran Affairs has identified CTE in over 91% of former NFL players. Now, remember, this figure comes from donated brains, so it's not exactly correct because not everyone donates. But let's be honest, the NFL doesn't really want you thinking about CTE. And let's take it one step further. The NFL really doesn't care about CTE until a little bit later when it hits them in the pocketbook. But if they painted, take CTE seriously, unless it's an important game, in the end zone, I feel like it would just be way too honest. And we do know that players do have some culpability here too. I mean, you see a player get blasted in the head and they immediately grab their ankle and they limp over the blue tent. We know it wasn't their ankle. We all saw it was their skull, but they limp in holding their ankle. They have an ankle x-ray done, which of course comes back clean, and they head right back out on the field, despite the fact that on the TV, we can actually see the little cartoon birds fluttering around their heads. But hey, if it's a big game, rub some dirt on that dent in your cranium and get back in there. Remember, we should be taking CTE seriously. Well, I mean, unless it's a big game, right? And that comes in at number 2. So we reach the number 1 rejected NFL slogan to be painted on end zones across the league. And this one, I am told, was really close. But ultimately, according to our Daily Dose iTeam findings that finds those stories no one else can, this one ultimately came up a little short. But again, the league wants to put out messages in their end zone that are going to strike a chord and do some good in the world. Well, if they really wanted to do some good in the world, they should probably address the real issues, not some silly word salad nonsense that doesn't mean anything. I mean, if you say to people, it takes all of us, okay, inspire change, like it sounds lovely, but does it really address real world problems? Of course not. Well, since 2020, well over 100 NFL players have been accused of domestic violence, but it seems that Stop Beating Your Wives just didn't have the same ring to it as Inspire Change. But trust me on this, the NFL needs that message on their fields way more than these silly generic slogans that they're going to be putting out there again. Hey, next week on The Dose, I have something a little different for you, but it's going to be NBA flavored, and it just might have a heavy dose of that NBA draft involved, which is coming later this month. Don't forget about that. So be sure you tune into The Dose, and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, and for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
As I rained blows upon him, I realized there had to be another way.